American Ballpark. It's the Better Off Red podcast. Here's your host, Jamie Ramsey.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Better Off Red podcast. We're so happy you took the time to find us and tune in. We're rolling right along into the holiday season, so I hope you have a little extra time planned with your family and friends and loved ones. And remember to use up that vacation time before the end of the year if you still have any left. Even if you don't have a trip planned, some me time is never a bad thing, especially if you're getting paid for it. We're super excited this week to have Sam Ryan as our guest here on the show, but before we get to her, I want to take a second to remind you folks that every Tuesday night through the end of December and into the new year, the Reds Hot Stove League radio show will broadcast live from 6 to 7 at the Holy Grail in downtown Cincinnati, directly across the street from Great American Ballpark. Join Marty and Tom Brenneman and Jim Kelch for an hour of Reds baseball as they warm up the winter nights by talking about the boys of summer. Immediately following the Hot Stove program, Better Off Red Baseball Trivia takes the stage to test your baseball knowledge with a nine-inning game hosted by yours truly. So join us every Tuesday at the Holy Grail for the Reds Hot Stove League show and Better Off Red Baseball Trivia. It's free and open to the public. Joining us this week is an award-winning sports broadcaster who you've most likely seen on TV for ESPN, ABC, CBS Sports, MLB Network, and in the dugout on TBS as a sideline reporter during the baseball postseason. She recently joined MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM, hosting various programs that cover our great game. I'm very pleased to bring to you this week, Sam Ryan. Okay, we're here with Sam Ryan. Sam, let's start off by talking about your new position with MLB Network Radio.
Hi, Jamie. First of all, thank you so much for having me. This is when I received a message from you. I was just really flattered. And thank you so much. Thank you. It's for me, this is an honor.
Wow.
You know, when you work nationally in baseball, I'm based in New York, so you just don't realize how other markets perceive you or pay attention and are familiar with your work. So really, you know, I've done work with the Reds. I've covered Reds games over the years, and to be recognized in the Cincinnati market, it's really an honor.
Well, you have a lot. You have a lot of fans here, Sam. So
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You so much. Thank you. I'm working at MLB Network Radio now, and I love it. It's I'm hosting, which is something that, you know, when I started off in my career, I was doing updates. Yep. I was doing sports updates at FAN Radio before transitioning to television. And, you know, I'm still working in television in some aspects. Mm-hmm. I did cover the postseason for TBS. You know, I still love television, but I do the aspect of hosting a show, a three-hour show with an analyst, is something I've wanted to do for a long time, and something you work up to and you build up to.
It's
something that I didn't feel like I was ready for several years ago, and now having covered baseball for so many years and knowing the teams, you know, the ins and outs, the history, I'm just more comfortable there in that role. Mm-hmm. And I do love it, and I really thank them for the opportunity.
And you'll still be on TV from time to time, especially in the postseason, right, for TBS?
I hope so. The last 2 years, I have worked for TBS in the postseason. So we'll see what the future holds.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Yeah. You know, things are exciting. It's nice to have some flexibility too.
Well, I've heard you on the radio end, and you're fabulous. I think
Thank you, absolutely.
You do the roundup, right?
I've done the roundup. I've hosted different shows. I'm going to share this little story with you about this past weekend. So this past weekend, I was hosting Baseball Today with Mike Stanton.
Uh-huh.
And when you're working in live radio and you're taking calls, you don't know what someone wants to talk about.
Sure.
So a caller called and said he wanted to talk about the Cubs and their bright future.
Mm-hmm.
So we take the call. And this young man talks about, hey, I think the Cubs have, you know, a great future. They can be contenders for a while. And then he proceeds to tell us a story about when he went to a Cubs game. And we go, okay. And he goes, you know, I sat down and they started with the national anthem. And then he started singing the national anthem.
Oh, my goodness.
So he's a caller on our on the radio, on MLB Network Radio, and this young man is singing the national anthem. Now, this is the national anthem, so you don't want to cut him off.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. I'm like, okay, do you jump in? Do you cut him off, or do you wait, let him finish? You know, he did not finish the complete song, but he got pretty far into the song, and you just don't know what to do, and that's the learning curve with hosting a live radio show. You just, you don't know what to expect.
Sure.
And
you can't be a jerk to him either. You got to be kind of polite.
No, you laugh it off and say, okay, well, the voice is on television on NBC, and it's a different channel. but I mean, that, like I said, that's the learning curve.
Sure.
That's the beauty of live radio. You don't know. It's not always a hard hitting question. It's the it's the unpredictable caller, and it did lighten up the mood, and it was funny. But I just couldn't interrupt the national anthem.
Sure, absolutely not.
You can't interrupt them.
Hey, how's your preparation changed now that you're doing the radio thing? I know that it's probably challenging. First of all, like I feel for the national folks because they're expected to know everything about all 30 teams. And I know that's probably one of your challenges, but how do you prepare for your specifically, like whether it's on TV or on radio?
There are two aspects of it. You know, the radio hosting a 3-hour show or covering a game. And, it's funny that you say that, the national folks, you come in, you're working a game, and this is a team that you don't see on a regular basis.
Sure, yeah.
So when you visit a team and you're doing a weekly game or a game once a month or whatnot, and these are teams you don't see on a regular basis, you may know some of the bigger picture stories. Mm-hmm. But these are stories and tidbits and nuggets that have been discussed in the local markets and covered on a daily basis. So what may be new hat to you, your broadcast team, and the national audience is something that may be exhausted locally. So you want to maintain the local audience as well. So you try to build on that story. You try to see what else, how you can expand it, how you can make it new and not regurgitate what was already told. And that's basically, interviewing, trying to just forward the story, so to speak. That's when you're actually covering a game.
Sure.
In that sort of preparation. Covering the postseason for TBS, we cover the wild card game first, the AL wild card game.
Right.
So, we're covering the Baltimore Orioles and we're covering the Toronto Blue Jays. So, this is a must-win game.
Mm-hmm.
The dynamic changes a bit. You're not telling, day-to-day stories in a game of that magnitude. But you may focus more on the injuries and updating the injuries and who's available, who isn't available, whatnot. But then when you move on to a series, you are with the team. You're ingrained.
Mm-hmm.
You're with the team. You're traveling with the team. You're around the team. So we covered the Red Sox and the Cleveland Indians
mm-hmm.
in the division series and then moved on to the Indians and the Blue Jays and the ALCS.
Yep.
So when you were covering those teams, you know every not that you know every nook and cranny, but one of the glaring injuries from that one was Trevor Bauer and the
mm-hmm.
bloody finger.
Absolutely,
and that stood out like a sore thumb or pinky,
so to speak.
I don't want to minimize the injury there, but here you are. The pitching coach knows you. Mickey Callaway knows who
mm-hmm.
you are at this point, and they're trusting you with this information, and they're talking to you, and you see them on a daily basis, so you know, okay. He had the 10 stitches, now he has 12 stitches. Whereas
right.
if you're coming to do one game from the outside, you're not afforded that trust, that information.
Mm-hmm.
So you're there and you know what has been talked about the day before,
yep.
2 days before, 3 days before. And that, I think, is what on the local broadcast you see more of because
mm-hmm.
you are around the team.
Sure.
So when you're covering a playoff series, the dynamic changes a little bit like that. So that's the TV aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, as a sideline reporter, that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel when we have our meetings with the managers also, it's the broadcast team. So it's your play-by-play, it's your analyst in the booth, and we're sitting with the manager in their office on a daily basis during a playoff series.
Yeah.
So the broadcast team will also advance the story.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than this is what we read, it's okay, we spoke to this person, we heard this, we know, this is what happened yesterday, so you can advance it and your preparation changes a little more. in that aspect. As far as radio, as far as hosting a show, you really don't, you know, as far as the prep work, you really don't know what's going to happen on a day-to-day basis in baseball. It's, hot stove season, into off season. Who knows? You know, if there's a trade, you know, if the Mariners are making a trade with the Diamondbacks one day, you just need to go on, you know, if that's the day of your shift. Be prepared and talk about the key players involved and figure out who you can have as a guest on your show to talk about it, who the experts are on both teams, the beat writers on each team. And you're kind of thinking on the fly, flying by the seat of your pants in that aspect. Radio, the beauty of that is you have your computer with you. You can even look things up. You can research as you're going. And that's the beauty of that.
Sure.
As far, and some things can be scripted as far as not writing out what you're saying, but as far as we're going to interview this person at this time, you know, at 10:15, we're going to go here. At 10:30, let's talk about the CBA negotiations. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Things change. Things happen. Things change. You don't know what's going to happen. And even during the regular season, you have games play off of, to feed off of, to talk about. But there are injuries during the season. There are injuries in spring training. There are demotions. So really, it's news. It's news. It's radio. It's 20, you watch CNN. You watch MSNBC. Mm-hmm. You watch Fox News Channel. It's same thing on radio, except for this is baseball.
Right.
You just need to be prepared and know the teams, know the history, know where you can go, and have a great analyst also that you're working with.
Sure.
So the preparation does, there's so much that you can prepare for with a 3-hour radio show. And as far as games, the preparation is different as well. So, as far as nationally and locally, different.
Yeah.
It's different. It's fun. It's fun. It's a challenge. I love it.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, you've covered pretty much every major sport there is. What is the allure of baseball for you personally, and is it your favorite sport to cover?
Yes, I love baseball. The allure of baseball, I love NFL. It's funny, when I'm so fickle, when I'm covering a sport and I'm in that moment, I can't speak for you, but I am in the moment.
Sure.
And I never thought I would leave NFL.
Right.
I loved being on an NFL sideline. The intensity, the magnitude, every game is a playoff game basically.
Yeah.
And you feel that, and you're there and you're running sideline to sideline. You're observing. No one's telling you what the injury is. You're looking, you're trying to see what you can see. There's a lot of excitement with that. For baseball, I love sitting in a camera well. The allure for me is I love to watch the game, and I love to sit in the camera well and keep my scorebook, my Bob Carpenter scorebook, and I, as if I'm in the booth calling the game.
Yeah.
And, perhaps I may go into a game with 10 different angles I want to cover or 10 different stories, but you have to let the game play.
Sure.
You can't get in the way of the game. And if you see something on the field or see something in the box score and know that, okay, he has 3 triples in this game. And, the last time he had a triple was in, 2007.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's something you know from your box score, from the game notes, which I know you're familiar with preparing game notes. So you want to review the game notes. I love that aspect of it.
Yeah.
I love the just thinking on your feet, being there, being in the moment, and watching the game, and knowing what is happening at every moment in the game. So baseball, you can sit down, you can score, you can follow along as you're going, and that's what I love about it. I don't cover baseball on a daily basis. I've never worked for a team.
Mm-hmm.
I've never worked for a team where I'm part of the broadcast and I'm working 162 games a year, or 100, however many a local broadcast is, 140 games a year.
Sure.
So I'm sure others will have different opinions on that. I don't experience the quote unquote the grind
yeah.
of the season. Yeah. You go in, you do a game a week. I love it. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, football, a game a week, I've covered NCAA. When I covered NHL, it's a little different. Now, when you're watching the NHL on NBC, you see Pierre in on the bench with the players, and he's yeah. talking. He's talking to the players. That didn't exist. That wasn't. Right. You know, the game has evolved, and the broadcast access has evolved over the years. So I was not privy to that access when right. I covered NHL mm-hmm. in 2003, 2004. But you know, we would do the in-between period interviews, the interview on the ice where you have, you know, you're wearing those cleats on your shoes so you don't slip and fall. But that was exciting as well.
Yeah.
So, I don't think there's one sport that I've covered that I've said, I don't like this sport. You know,
right. yeah.
I don't think I can say that.
Hey, there's there's a gentleman named Eric Merlis. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He collected stories from 65 prominent sportscasters and journalists about the top five sports moments they've seen in person. And he put all those stories in a book called I Was There. And you're featured in the book, Sam. And congratulations on that, because you're among, you know, the absolute best in the business who share stories for the book. It's got to be a nice compliment, right?
Thank you. yeah, Bob Costas was featured in the book. I believe Joe Buck as well. I believe it was last year Eric reached out. And going back and thinking about the top five, you know, at the time working strictly in Major League Baseball, there are other sporting events that I've covered over mm-hmm. the years that were pretty pretty exciting for me. One of them covering an Army-Navy game for CBS Sports. George W. Bush was on hand, and he was there pregame on the field.
Yeah.
He agreed to do a live interview,
wow.
not a taped interview, a live interview. And this is the sitting president.
Right,
they had,
absolutely.
I believe since then Barack Obama has been at the game, but at that moment, in that moment, he was the first sitting president
wow.
to appear at the Army-Navy game and agreed to a live interview. Oh my, I had never been more nervous in my life. So that was, and we didn't, you know, it's something that there was talk, not too much talk, because I don't know how much they won't publicize or
sure,
whatnot,
yeah.
but there's talk that there's a possibility the president could be here. As we got closer to the day of the game, it's like, okay, Social Security number, this and that. I'm like, okay.
yeah.
And I was brought in this this room underneath the stadium in Philadelphia. Military dignitaries were there, and President George W. Bush, he went down this almost like a receiving line when you're shaking hands with the bride and groom after a wedding, the wedding ceremony. And he said hello to everybody. He wanted to know everybody's name. And, you know, here I am. I'm the reporter.
Yeah.
And, you know, he looked at me. He's like, you're in some pretty impressive company here. I'm like, I know. And so, you know, and he was funny. He was funny.
Yeah.
And that's
uh-huh.
the thing that I took from that. You could tell, I can't speak for everyone else, but I was nervous. And I believe
of course,
that,
yeah.
sense that I was nervous. And he lightened the mood, and he was very funny. And for me, it made me feel more comfortable interviewing him. And
excellent.
I believe the questions were brief. They were quick,
yeah.
two or three questions. But I didn't stumble my words. And that was one thing I was so afraid of, that this is the president of the United States. You don't want to blow it. You need to get it right. And it was really neat about it.
Awesome.
You know, I could see the Secret Service presence. You know they're there.
Yeah,
and that
oh,
was,
yeah.
You know, you feel protected, but then you feel a little, wow, this is bigger. This is huge. the press corps was there as well. I had my producer holding my camera to take pictures.
Wow.
And they said, oh, don't worry. We have our own press photographer. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That was, and also the, we received an official transcript from the White House.
Oh,
they posted
wow.
it on the White House website.
Wow.
The interview, the three-question interview with George W. Bush, and they posted that on the White House website, which I thought was just really
awesome.
Neat to have that. Yeah. Because how many people have that who cover sports?
Yeah.
So that was neat to have. Sure. And about a month later, I received a package in the mail. It was an envelope and addressed to CBS and addressed to me at CBS. And it was a picture of myself with George W. Bush, and it was signed.
Awesome.
And I'm like, this is neat. This is special.
Yeah.
Whatever your political, you know, politics aside, this is really neat.
Yeah,
this,
that's some absolutely.
So that was one of my moments. I know which one you want me to get to,
yeah,
and I
yeah.
know Sonia's BS is here, so I will get to that. One of the moments was 2011, Game 6 mm-hmm. of the World Series between the Texas Rangers and the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, yeah.
They were one strike away.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Rangers were one strike away mm-hmm. of winning the World Series, and that comeback and the David Freeze moment uh-huh. was unbelievable. Matt Yaloff was covering the Texas Rangers. I was covering the St. Louis Cardinals. We would, to try to make this story as short as I can, as brief and as concise as I can, we were standing out, the tunnel that walks you onto the field.
Right.
So because of crowd control for mm-hmm. the media, you couldn't have two reporters from the same network there. So one of us would do the walk-off interview with the winning team. So
yeah.
he was on the Rangers. I was on the Cardinals. It looked like the Rangers were going to win it. So he's standing in the tunnel.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, here come the Cardinals. So I come out. So we're switching the microphone back and forth. This is a walk-off interview.
Yeah.
We didn't know. And it was just really neat just to watch it
yeah.
transpire before our eyes. My scorebook is back in the media room, because you're just waiting for, you throw everything from inning 1 through 7, 1 through 8 out the window, because this is now
right.
So compelling. And really to go through it afterwards, I remember the words from Bob Costa sitting in our production trailer afterwards. We sat down, we did the walk-up interview, the David Freeze moment, his torn jersey,
mm-hmm.
and Bob Costa says to me, "Sam, I think you just witnessed one of the greatest baseball games."
Oh, wow.
And yes, and I looked at him, I'm like, wow,
yeah.
I knew for me it was, and it really put it into perspective.
Yeah, coming from him especially.
Yeah, that this was one of the most intense, exciting games that we have seen. Obviously, Homer Bailey's second no-hitter.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was, July of 2013, if
yep,
I'm correct?
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Wow, time flies. so we were, obviously, he had the last no-hitter of 2012.
Right.
And the first no-hitter of 2013. So MLB Network was in Cincinnati. We're at Great American Ballpark to cover the San Francisco Giants and the Cincinnati Reds. And I believe it was Tim Lincecum pitching for the Giants in
yeah,
that game.
That's right.
And they were both pitching well.
Absolutely.
I was sitting on the Cincinnati Reds. Yeah, I remember it was a hot game. It was warm outside. It
yeah.
was humid. Mm-hmm. That's not a shocker. It's mid-July.
In Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati. I remember I was wearing a ponytail because it was so humid. We did a pregame interview with Buster Posey.
Yeah.
The Giants had won the World Series in 2012.
Yeah.
After
dispatching the Reds in the NLDS, by the way. Sorry to
interrupt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's pitching well, and I'm sitting in the camera well adjacent to the Red dugout,
mm-hmm.
and there's a perfect game going on through 6, I believe.
Yeah.
You could, at some point you start to feel it, and I don't know how you don't know what they're thinking on the bench. You don't know what the thought is in the press box. But when I was sitting there, you start to get it's a nervous excitement.
Sure.
Because you just don't know what's going to happen here. And wow, this could be. But yeah, you don't want to jinx it, because so many times we've seen perfect games into the sixth and
yeah.
no hitters into the sixth. So you don't know what to expect. It's exciting at that point. I remember Matt Latos was walking, pacing back and forth, and he kept coming over watching every play on the TV monitor.
Yeah.
And as the game transpired, watching him was almost like watching an 11-year-old kid on Christmas Eve. It was just the excitement and just, wow, did you see that play? So we get to the seventh inning, and the perfect game's over. Gregor Blanco walks.
Yeah.
And that one play, the Joey Votto play, Buster Posey, as it, I don't know how well you remember it. I'm sure most folks in Cincinnati remember this play, like it was yesterday. But looked like a hit, could have been a hit.
Yeah.
But Joey Votto with that heads up play, the throw to third.
Absolutely, yeah.
To get Blanco, it's a fielder's choice. It's it preserved the no hitter.
Yep.
To have that, you know, we know Joey Votto is a student of the game.
Yeah.
And we know his baseball IQ is way up there.
Absolutely.
And that heads up play was wow. And I remember, you know, at that moment, then you think, wow, everything is going right for this team. You're getting closer. I remember texting Alana Rizzo, who is with the Dodgers now, at that moment. Mm-hmm. And I just wrote, wow. And she texted back, have you ever covered a no-hitter? And I wrote, no, I haven't. Have you? And she said, yes, she did when she was in Colorado at the time, and obviously since then has. But I'm like, no, I haven't. And I knew it was special. Not for me. I don't want to insert myself and make it about me.
No, it's
but
okay.
To witness it, to be there and to witness it, and for every fan in attendance, and for every broadcaster and everybody in the press box, whether you're rooting for one team or another,
right.
To see there, to be there for it.
Yeah.
Because you are. It is that feeling of being at a wild card game, being at game seven of a World Series, because you feel the intensity, and that's what I was sensing from the Reds dugout to see that later on in the later innings. And I remember at one point, you know, Lindos kept walking back and forth, and we would see Homer Bailey after each half inning, and he would go up the tunnel, and he'd disappear. He's not sitting on the bench. He kept going up the tunnel. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what is he doing? What's going on?
Yeah.
He would go up the tunnel. He would sit on a chair. There was a fan going on. He would sit, you know, drink his water, use the towel, you know, sit in front of the fan. Mm-hmm. But apparently that wasn't foreign to him. That's something that he would usually do.
Yeah.
I was told at the time. But that's something that the audience may not know. What is he doing? Where is he going? So we see that, and then it all, you know, all the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed, and there's the no-hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And what a moment.
Yeah,
what a moment.
It's
really
great.
Exciting. Really exciting to be there and to witness that, and you know, he graciously gave the walk-up interview with shaving cream in the face and all.
Yeah.
Wouldn't let him escape, but what a fantastic moment to be there at Great American Ballpark, and the Reds have been just so fun to cover and watch over the years. Covering Billy Hamilton, I remember seeing Billy Hamilton once again that year in 2013 in the Triple A All-Star Game. So we got a glimpse of his speed back then. He had a stolen base in that game. That was in Reno, and he was batting leadoff. I believe he was 1-for-4, run scored, and the stolen base. And we were all waiting for that with his speed. So it's fun to see him at a young, aspect of his career. Joey Votto's been fantastic.
Speaking of Joey, you mentioned him. Could you? And I'm sure you're going to get to it. I just want to set that one up for you because that was you approached us about doing an interview with Joey, or MLB Network did at least, and it was a sit-down interview. And one of the things that was just fascinating about that interview was it was one of the rare times that Joey kind of opened up about his father passing and how that affected him. And that interview became something more than just something sports. It was really profound, and I thought it was so well done, and I thought you did a great job. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. When you know, I remembered reading in Sports Illustrated and in USA Today as well when Joey's father passed, and about the struggles that he went through. And I had never seen a sit-down interview. And that's something that I do, and it's just a different aspect of the game. We talk, you know, we talk plays, you talk X's and O's, but there is a human element to the game, and sometimes that is overlooked, and, you know, you don't see a lot of these sit-down interviews, and a lot of players don't want to open up. They don't want to expose themselves. In Joey's case, it's something when I started working at MLB Network and we were doing some features and we were introducing them, I remember reaching out to one of my superiors and said, you know, I'd love to, you know, at some point do an interview with Joey Votto about what he went through with his father. And it was like, well, you know, I don't know if he's going to go there. I don't know if he's going to, you know, I don't know if he's going to talk about that. And Rob Butcher with the Cincinnati Reds, I remember talking to him about it. And it was something that when the moment was right, we would approach it. Yeah. And he had just introduced his foundation. And it was, well, let's see. Let's see if he will talk about it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's something, I don't know if others had tried, if that's something that he wasn't ready. I don't know if it's something that people didn't want to go there. I don't know. I don't know if there were attempts in the past by others or not. Because it wasn't a new story.
Yeah.
But I felt that if he could lend us his time and to talk about this, that, you know, we could tell a story and we can do it properly. And you know, I thank him so much for that because he's very brave.
Yeah.
He's very brave.
Did you know going into the interview that he was going to mention it, or were you just kind of like, I'm going to throw it out there and let's see if he talks about it?
No. I think he knew that this was the gist of the interview. I think he understood that. I don't know if he knew. He didn't know what questions I was going to ask.
Yeah.
I don't sit with a piece of paper on my lap when I when I do interviews because for that reason.
Right.
The subject wants to see the questions. They want to know what you're going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's about having a conversation and seeing where they lead you and seeing where it goes. And he, you know, a lot of times when there's a sensitive subject, you know, people want to know, what are you going to ask? You know, you don't know. Let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, what I really took from that was he wasn't embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't embarrassed to say when I asked him about when he, I remember asking him about when he felt he hit rock bottom. He said it was calling 911 several
right.
times a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he felt like he couldn't breathe and he, you know, here he is calling 911 again.
Yeah.
And he just felt that. Almost he was a prisoner within himself.
Sure.
And he didn't know how to manage it at that time. Well, that's very brave and that's very
yeah.
bold.
Yeah.
To admit that on camera. And he, you know, we don't know, but maybe he helped others out there. And that's where it's selfless to talk about your personal struggles such as that. He also, you know, he talked about, you know, moments with his dad. His dad was always there for him.
Mm-hmm.
He, what also stood out, his MVP season.
Yeah.
He was addressing his seasons following his father's death and talking about, this was a blur.
Wow.
And I remember saying to him, you won the MVP that year.
Yeah.
And in his mind, he was just going through the motions.
Right.
He's, you know, obviously, he's one of the best baseball players in Major League Baseball.
Sure.
But to be able to do that and accomplish that without your head 100% in the game and with the distraction and with a heartache and a heartbreak is, wow, that speaks volumes.
Yeah, the game's hard enough as it is, and there he
mm-hmm.
is, yeah. Hey, Sam,
every day.
Before I let you go, real fast, as someone like yourself who follows the game, let's hit this a little locally. What do you think of the Reds? And you think they're headed in the right direction? What do you see from a national standpoint?
You know, it's following the Reds and to see some of the changes the past couple of years. I would tell Reds fans be patient. Nobody wanted to lose a role to Chapman. you know, he was exciting. So to lose a role to Chapman is one thing. To lose Todd Frazier.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, he was such a great spokesperson for that team.
Sure.
Incredible player. Home Run Derby was just fantastic. You still have the core of the team and the youth of the team. So I think, you know, having, you know, and Jay Bruce also.
Yeah.
So losing those key players, I can see where Reds faithful would, you know, I don't know how it is there, but I don't know if people were disgruntled, unhappy, upset. But I think you have to look. I think you have to look at the young talent on the team and, you know, patience. And I think the future does look bright. Look at the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The New York Yankees, you know, you can't go from point A to point C without going through point B. Mm-hmm. And I think the future does look bright.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it, the point A to point B.
That's the glass half full approach.
Yeah. Sam, thanks so much for coming on with us. I think
thank you so much. I'm flattered.
You're absolutely fantastic. I think baseball fans are very lucky to have you on their radios and on their TVs. And I think you're a pro's pro. I have a lot of respect for what you do and the way you go about your business. And you're absolutely one of my favorites. And if there's anything the Reds we can do for you here, you just let us know and we'll move mountains for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Just tell Rob Butcher that I think I have surpassed his marathon medal.
I think he's out running like his 20th mile right now. So,
okay.
Are you going to be at the winter meetings?
No, I will not. I will not.
Well, we're going to miss you.
Have fun.
Okay, we will. Sam,
thanks
a lot.
Thank you so much, Jamie.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Working for a team's media relations department, I've come across many local and national broadcasters throughout the years. Some seem good at what they do, some don't. Some handle themselves like pros, some don't. But I can tell you firsthand, Sam Ryan is a true professional and very good at what she does. I first worked with Sam during the NLCS a couple of years ago in St. Louis when I was helping out Major League Baseball. I remember noticing how prepared Sam was, her professional and friendly interaction with her crew and coworkers, and how importantly she took the game. I've seen a few sideline reporters turn off their on-air persona when the camera goes off, shut down, sink themselves into their phone, and wait impatiently until their next on-air hit. Not Sam. She's the real deal. What you see on TV or hear on the radio is what you get. She's a genuine professional who has a real passion for the game of baseball and for her profession. It was a great privilege to have her on the show this week. In addition to Sam Ryan, thank yous go out this week to the Cincinnati Reds, and to my main man, Nick Prince, the best technical director in the vast universe of podcasting. Without Nick, this Better Off Red podcast would not exist. That's all this week from BOR headquarters. I hope you enjoyed the show. Until next time, I'm Jamie Ramsey. Expect good news